Hi, this is Paul. Jordan Peterson was back on Bill Maher. The last time he was on Bill Maher, I think, was 5 years ago, because I made a video commentary on that, at least the portions that were on YouTube. Now, as is normal with Bill Maher's show, certain portions of it are on YouTube and certain portions are not. And those who are making videos, it's interesting that Dave Rubin is once again sort of turning back to the Jordan Peterson thing, and was that arc. And so he's covering this space a little bit more now than he was before. And so then he had Jordan Peterson corners Bill Maher with questions no Democrat will answer. And of course, for Dave Rubin, that's just all sort about the Democrats and Republicans and the liberals and all of this kind of thing. But I actually think that the most noteworthy portion of the Bill Maher interview was not at all covered by any of the YouTube clips. And this was, I thought, probably the most impressive performance I've seen from Jordan Peterson that really I've seen since 2018 from him. And so because this is all in the HBO Max area, if you don't have HBO Max, I can't play the clip. I know that once I would put this clip on, it would immediately be taken down from YouTube, so there's no point in trying it. So instead, what I did was I made a transcript of it. So it's right at the beginning. So Bill Maher's show has different segments. He sort of has a stand-up segment at the beginning. Then he had his special test, his special guest, which was Ted Cruz. And then right after the special guest, then he sort of has his panel discussions with two or three guests. And one of them was Jordan Peterson, and the other one was Pamela Paul, who apparently was an editor for the New York Times and now as an editorial writer for the New York Times. So I thought it was an interesting panel, and it's noteworthy that on Bill Maher's sort of living room show that he does, it was a significant conversation with Jordan Peterson, and I found that conversation to be very interesting. It did a little bit of treatment on it. Bill Maher calls this the Club Random podcast, and actually there were quite a few very interesting segments in it. But one of the things I paid attention to in this conversation was sort of the emerging relationship between Bill Maher and Jordan Peterson. Now, I've been watching Bill Maher since he was on ABC TV with his Politically Incorrect show, which I really enjoyed. And Bill Maher, for sort of being in the camp of the new atheists, often had even very evangelical Christians on the show and treated them with respect and, you know, listened to them to have to hear them out. But then Bill Maher gave his, you know, he gave his take on religion, which hasn't really changed that much. But Bill Maher is clearly a big fan of Jordan Peterson. One of the things that was obvious from this Club Random with Bill Maher and Jordan Peterson was that hierarchy's bind and blind, and Bill Maher doesn't necessarily know a lot about Jordan Peterson in depth in terms of his positions. And that led to a number of very interesting moments in this conversation as well as on his HBO conversation. Jordan Peterson also, if you watch him, Jordan Peterson is sensitive to status. You will notice with Jordan Peterson's conversations, he almost didn't let Louise Perry in their conversation talk during their interview. I actually thought Tammy's conversation with Louise Perry was absolutely outstanding, but Jordan just kept talking over her, and you know, he does that sometimes in his conversations. But I noticed that one of the ways to sort of get a sense of Jordan's esteem for someone in the context of these conversations is how much he'll listen. And so it's clear that he likes his relationship with Bill Maher. He wants to enhance his relationship with Bill Maher. But Bill Maher is an interesting libertarian in that in many ways he's very much still frustrated with the Democratic Party, but hasn't totally left them behind. He's very clearly a never Trumper. And so this comes through in his jokes and all of that. Now, this is all to set up what I think is probably the most important aspect of this beginning of this conversation with Bill Maher, because Bill Maher is very much a sexual libertarian, very much pro-abortion rights, and Bill Maher will often tend on his program with these positions where he feels comfortable and at home, sort of well ensconced within the blue church, to sort of assume that everyone there thinks like he does. And why this was important for Jordan is that in a context like this, it's very easy to sort of be swept along with the room and to sort of laugh and play nice and sort of try to fit in with the rest of the room with respect to this, of course it's true, adoration of abortion rights and the sexual revolution. Even though, if you've been listening to a lot of Jordan, there's a reason he had Louise Perry on stage at ARC, because Jordan has been very critical of the sexual revolution in many ways. And so this is a way that Jordan Peterson and Bill Maher are definitely not on the same page. And so as I was watching this, I was very interested in how Jordan was going to handle this. Now, it's also the case that in a show like this, now again, I have to be very careful with this video because the YouTube algorithm is pretty sensitive, and if I just start running some of this video, it'll immediately flag and block it, and you'll never see the light of day. But a highly produced television program like this, the camera is very selective in terms of what it will show. And so in a lot of the areas where sort of the flow of the narrative of the program is like, oh, ho, ho, of course abortion should be ubiquitous, ho, 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 too bad I don't have my long beard for all this ho, ho, hoing. Ho, 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 all of these prudes out there who are against the sexual revolution, they're like the religious types. They're ignorant. They don't know anything about it. Either that or they're just uptight. And he had already done a fair amount of yucking about Mike Johnson's Covenant Eyes app. That was in the monologue. He was talking about the Covenant Eyes program, which is a fairly common program used in ministry contexts when people have some self-control issues with respect to their smartphones and use of pornography. This is very common in churches to help people be able to at least have an internet connection, have a laptop, have a smartphone. I've known many good Christian men who have decided to not have smartphones, but to have dumb phones just because it eliminates the temptation of pornography. And again, there's sort of this libertarian aspect out there that, ho, 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 you know, why don't you just not use it? Well, ho, 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 why don't you? This is a big temptation for men, and the ubiquity of pornography has been a major issue for Christians who want to maintain a degree of sexual integrity and be able to go about their work life, which today pretty much almost always involves some use of the internet. And so while they were sort of yucking it up on the show, I noticed that they weren't panning on Peterson. But there are many moments when you sort of catch Peterson and everybody in the studio is laughing, but not him. And so I was very interested to see, how is Jordan going to handle this? And he handled it brilliantly. This is the Jordan that really changed the room with respect to Kathy Newman. This was the Jordan that could, on one hand, uphold what I think is a good position with respect to many of these issues, but not be sort of easily dismissible as a crazy religious figure. He could present the justification for a traditional position in language that even very much blue state people could understand. Now, I knew that this was going to cause some conflict with Bill Maher, because Bill Maher is very much a sexual libertarian, and this comes through. So I made a transcript of it, and I don't have any puppets for Bill Maher, but I just kind of want to go through it, because actually, if you go through it slowly, I think part of the value of watching Jordan in moments like this is he can teach us sort of how to turn the conversation. Now, again, Tim Keller was a guy who could do this well, but even though, of course, I mean, Tim Keller, he's a reformed Christian minister like I am. Jordan does it in a way that I've only really seen Jordan do. And I think so studying Jordan and how he does this is really helpful, just even in the little turns of phrase that he uses. Now, of course, in another way, Jordan, when he speaks, will speak speaking psychologically, which will get an audience with someone like Bill Maher, whereas myself as a minister won't necessarily have an audience because I'll be dismissed as, well, you're sort of embedded and beholden to your job and your organization and your tradition, and so therefore you're not to be listened to in a secular frame, whereas Jordan Peterson, because he's a psychologist, he will be listened to. So the show begins, and he gives Jordan Peterson an introduction, and he gives Pamela Paul an introduction, and then he begins in on abortion. And Bill Maher says, "So I feel like this week was dominated by political news. There's a big poll that everyone thought was a very, very esteemed poll." It's a little hard reading the transcription because transcripts, I had a computer do this transcript, and the transcript sort of has all of the words literally instead of sort of the flow of the conversation. But basically the point he was making is that Joe Biden is in trouble. Joe Biden is in trouble because in a one-to-one standoff with Donald Trump in the key states of Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin, Nevada, and Pennsylvania, Biden is losing. And someone might say, well, the Democrats haven't started campaigning, but part of the point and anxiety that Bill Maher has expressed very regularly is that whether or not you think Biden can act as president, it's pretty universally agreed to he can't campaign for president. And Trump won in many ways because the Democrats put up an unelectable, very disliked person of Hillary Clinton. And now the Democrats go ahead and put up Joe Biden, who beat him once, but Joe very much shows his age in the way that Donald Trump doesn't. It's quite likely that Joe Biden would lose to Donald Trump, and the Democrats have to figure this out. But Maher goes on to the point of abortion and basically says, well, it's because of abortion. As I mentioned in the monologue, this is kryptonite. I think the Democrats have against the Republicans. Do people really not like having that? People really did not like having that right taken away. Talking about abortion is very difficult. But the political reality of abortion has actually been well known and stable for a very long time. And that political reality has tended to be both Democrats and Republicans overplay their hand with respect to abortion. Poll after poll after poll in America for the last 50 years, generally speaking, shows that Americans are in favor of limiting abortion. They're skeptical about outlawing it completely, but they very much do want it limited. And as been pointed out, in many cases, American and Canadian abortion laws have been remarkably lax, even as compared to Europeans. Most European countries restrict abortions pretty severely after 14 weeks. So what has happened with respect to abortion, once sort of Roe versus Wade was overturned and it went back to the states. So now you have these campaigns in the states, and generally speaking, deep blue states like California will sort of ensconce access to abortion in their laws, while deeper red states, well, they've been making noises about severe limitations of abortion, and depending on the political mix of their states, people won't necessarily want to go as far as, let's say, some of the Republicans with respect to limiting abortion. And so I actually think it's healthier for America to have this back on the state legislatures and let the natural political economy adjust abortion rather than sort of doing it at the federal level, which Roe versus Wade did. But Bill Maher wants to go ahead and say, well, All the Democrats have to do is keep talking about abortion and they'll keep winning elections. That's way, way too simplistic. because, of course, this has been a Republican point for conservative Republicans for a long time. And what it shows is that you have a fringe on the left with the Democrats and a fringe on the right with the Republicans. And most of Americans in the middle want some restriction on abortion, but not complete restriction on abortion, but also not complete openness towards abortion. And so limiting abortion has been, for a very long time, sort of the moderate American position. The Democratic Party has abandoned that position, and the Republican Party has sort of gone to the other side, which there's this one point that I noted that Chris Williamson had made with his conversation with Constantine Kissin, which I really have to clip because I thought that was an outstanding point that Chris had made. And he made it in another podcast recently too. But part of the reason for the polarization that is going on in the American system, whereas in the middle, many Americans are sort of willing to sort of compromise on some of these issues. But Bill Maher doesn't really get that. And Pamela Paul turns up. I mean, I think abortion is like defund the police for the Republicans. I think it works against the Republicans more than it does for the Democrats. Certainly when it comes to the national, you know, to a presidential election, it's really tempting to overread the tea leaves in terms of how much the Democrats can have success in this off election, which is undeniable. Will it affect the presidential election? And I think in 2024, I think Pamela Paul is basically right that Bill Maher is overreading the potency of abortion as a winning campaign for the Democrats. It's a much bigger winning campaign for the Republicans. And so Bill Maher debates that a little bit. And then Bill Maher sort of gets into his lines, which I knew this is going to, we're just coming off ARC. This is going to rankle. This is not where Jordan Peterson is at. And then he makes this joke. Even red state people say, you know, that life begins when you can afford it. And again, in terms of the camera work, they're not showing much of Jordan Peterson during that. There's a director backstage. They've got cameras on everyone. And the director backstage is picking the camera angles. And when the crowd laughs, because we all agree about abortion and we all agree about, you know, sexual libertinism, we all agree about these things. Ha, 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 ha. Show Bill Maher laughing. Listen to the crowd. Show Pamela Paul sort of laughing, going on with the flow. Don't show Jordan Peterson. And I kept thinking, what's Jordan doing? Is he laughing along? Has, in a sense, Jordan's status rocket brought him to the point now where when he gets at a table like this, he's just going to make nice and go along. Now, I really hoped he wouldn't, but you don't know until you're there because this status stuff is powerful, powerful stuff. Pamela Paul says, yeah, I think abortion is as much an economic issue as a moral issue. I think kids are pricey. Bill Maher says, like a boat, yuck, 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 yuck. And then Jordan Peterson weighs in. And again, there's no clips of this on YouTube. So if you get a chance to watch it, get a chance to watch it. And Jordan Peterson lays down, I think, an enormously important truth that is too seldom spoken in the back and forth of American politics. It's convenient for the Democrats if abortion would be the primary issue in the election. But the fact that Trump is so popular seems to indicate that's not going to work very well. There's a mystery here, right? Again, this is Jordan speaking. And the mystery is, at least in part, why he is so popular, despite the fact that he's gone after constantly and he's in court and people are, what you would say, ambivalent about his moral character. Jordan is making about as nice a point as possible. And again, this is the Jordan we saw in 2018. This is the Jordan we saw at the top of his game. This is the Jordan not necessarily alienating people to the left or people to the right by speaking the truth. He sort of puts it right in the middle. Now, people can take offense on either side if they want to. But I thought in terms of the context he was in, he nailed that. It was pitch perfect. I was so impressed. Nevertheless, no matter what's thrown at him, he seems to continue to ride high in the polls, and I don't think that's That's I don't think that's an issue the Democrats have dealt with seriously at all. And I just thought, boom, right there, right in the room. He just said something to the Democrats that the Democrats have needed to hear for a long time, and nobody wants to say it within the Democratic sort of yuck, we hate Trump, he's deranged, blah, blah, blah. In the Trump derangement environment, they don't want to say Donald Trump has, since 2014, been putting his finger on something in American culture that the Democrats don't want to fess up to, for the most part. It was the same thing with Oliver Anthony. It was the same thing with all of this, that the Democrats used to be the party of the little guy. Think about the 70s, 80s. This is, of course, when Joe Biden sort of cut his teeth as the guy who would take the train from Delaware, who lost his wife, whose wife died. This is the party the Democrats used to be. This is the party the Democrats have abandoned. Paul Kingsnorth really nails this.
Consciously inverts all of them, actually. The strange thing, and it's pushed forward by this strange alliance of progressive ideologues and corporate capital, which seems to dominate the place now. Strange alliance which bamboozles all the old lefties and all the old conservatives at the same time. But it makes sense, because what we might call progressive leftism and corporate capitalism are both totalizing utopian projects which are suspicious of the past and impatient with borders and boundaries and hostile to religion and superstition. The reason so many hippies ended up as tech billionaires, the borders are quite permeable. George Grant, the Canadian Red Tory philosopher, came up with a great quote a few decades ago again. He said, "The directors of General Motors and the followers of Professor Marcuse sail down the same river in different boats." That was quite good. Except now I think they've abandoned the different boats and they're both sailing down the river in a big super yacht together. And we're on the bank throwing rocks or writing essays about them.
How did he get invited to the Wisconsin School of Business? This video, a bunch of people said, you got to watch this video. It had very few views just not too long ago. This video is sort of a prophetic cry in the wilderness. He bought this plaid shirt at a thrift shop when he came to America. So in other words, the Democratic Party has never really taken into account why Trump is popular. And some of the Republicans haven't either. And again, it's easy to be dismissive. And there are plenty of reasons that are dismissible for Trump's popularity. But there are key reasons why Trump is popular that unless you actually confront them, and you don't want to, he's gonna keep eating your lunch, at least until, you know, whoever knows how the Trump story, political story ends, we'll see. So it's convenient for the Democrats, Peterson said, and he's exactly right. And diverting the conversation to abortion isn't going to change that one bit as far as I can see. And you just hear Jordan say that in his own way. Bill Maher disagrees with him. Oh, I think it will. I just think he's uniquely qualified because, of course, he's probably paid for a lot of abortions, which is probably true. And yeah, laugh. Is that something you really want to laugh about? If you're so pro-women, just think about that. And think about how Donald Trump has managed his sex life. And think about if this is something that is really... So in this, ironically, for all the Trump hating that Bill Maher is doing, when it comes to the sexual revolution and sexual libertarianism and sexual libertinism, Donald Trump and Bill Maher are on the same page. They really are. And so on one hand, Bill Maher is sort of yucking it up about Donald Trump, but it's the same way. Bill Maher is probably a little bit jealous of the kind of women that Donald Trump has been able to bed throughout his life, married or unmarried. And guess what? Bill Maher sort of jokes about never having had children, but Donald Trump has managed to have wives and children. So, truth be told, who wins between them, Bill Maher or Donald Trump? And so then Bill Maher sort of focuses in on hypocrisy. It is where people, he's talking about the red state, supposedly have traditional values. Now, again, this is super low resolution because red state, you know, all of the states of the United States have plenty of people in of many different persuasions in them. Supposedly have traditional values. You know, they call them red states and flyover states in the middle of the country. Even there, I think we've come to the place where women are of the opinion that the guy I F is not necessarily the guy I want to have a baby with. And again, they weren't focusing on Peterson because everybody laughs at that, including Pamela Paul. And I was just thinking, I don't think Jordan's going to laugh at this because Jordan takes all of this stuff far more seriously than Bill Maher or Donald Trump. And the truth is, again, even in red states, there are women who, you know, this abortion, again, Americans tend to have a moderate position on abortion. There are many Americans that have a far more conservative position and some that have a far more libertarian position. But the truth is very complex. And there's very, very many women who are, in fact, I would say that the anti-abortion movement is predominantly led by women. And Pamela Paul agrees, well, it's, and Bill Maher says, I see it as progress. And then Bill Maher, actually, it's not Pamela Paul here, it's Bill Maher that says to Jordan, well, maybe you don't. And here's where Jordan sort of uses one of his little phrases that really goes well with him. It isn't obvious. And you know, again, part of the reason to watch a guy like Jordan Peterson very carefully is to pick up these little tricks. Well, it isn't obvious. Oh, I got to keep my eye on the coffee break ladies are leaving. Maybe they'll, I got to go talk to some people, but I got to remember, I got to pick it up. It isn't obvious. Okay, back to it isn't obvious. It isn't, this is Jordan Peterson speaking again to Bill Maher in the audience. It isn't obvious to me that it's progress, and the reason for that, in part, is because of the unintended consequences of the sexual revolution. It seems to be that the utility of sex itself seems to be increasingly questionable about, you know, among young people. And again, so here he is stating his position, and it's very much a counter-narrative position, but it's one that's increasingly rising and people are recognizing. And he talks about Japan. I mean, in Japan, for example, I think 30% of the people now under 30 are virgins. It's about the same in South Korea. Young people are less likely to have sex than they were 20 years ago. And so there's a case to be made for that can be made for enhanced sexual freedom. But the real world consequences of that being that sex has become, by all appearances, increasingly terrifying for young people because of its complexity. That's a super important point, and it's made with a ton of nuance, its specificity. And then Jordan says, I don't think that's freedom. And then Bill Maher sort of says, no, it's the phone. And Jordan Peterson says, yeah, but no. That's associated with the same thing, you know. You were you made some comments about the new Speaker of the House and the app he's using with his son. Means it isn't the phone. Well, it isn't the phone exactly. It's porn on the phone. And porn is part of the sexual revolution, let's say. And what's happening is that the sexual revolution, as far as I can tell, is devouring sex. And I think that making sex easier for people, we thought that it would, I suppose, especially in the aftermath of the pill, that it would open up a whole new world of sexual delight. And I don't think it's turning out that way. It certainly doesn't seem to be turning out that way. And then Bill Maher begins to sort of object to this. No, I mean, but is this the evolution of society? I mean, we can't really put the genie back in the bottle. And Pamela Paul jumps in. I don't think we can blame the sexual revolution, the fact that the kids aren't having sex on the sexual revolution. What would you blame it on? Jordan Peterson asks. I think they're watching pornography. They're on their phones, and that they're socializing less frequently, you know, in person. So there's less opportunity to do so. And I think that some of the fallout of the Me Too movement, well, I think has largely been a good thing, Pamela Paul says, and that there's a lot of fear among young people about having sex and having consequences, not just unwanted pregnancy, but also perhaps some kind of allegation. And I think that sex has become frightening for a lot of people. And Jordan, again, sort of doesn't deny and says, there's certainly some truth to what you're saying. Jordan says, I don't see a difference between that and the argument that I was making, because even the onset of porn online on the phones is a consequence of the sexual revolution. I mean, first, you know, there was Playboy and then Penthouse and then Hustler and then 24-hour on-demand porn. And that is a consequence of the sexual revolution, because one of the things the sexual revolution attempted to do was, would you say, facilitate the idea that sex could be merely for pleasure, and I don't think that's true. I think the sex that's for pleasure will devour itself, and I think that's what's playing out. And I mean, that's partly why young men, and I think the fear issue you're discussing is also relevant, but I think it's related to the sexual revolution as well. Sex for pleasure devours itself. That's what it looks like. And now Bill Maher is at this point a little bit not real happy with the way the conversation is going. And he says, it's too big. You're categorizing it for everyone. And I feel like you're talking about one type of person, and we're not all that way. I feel like there's a giant spectrum, and it's very rarely talked about, the levels of horniness, shall we say. And then Jordan Peterson says, but committed relationships have more sex. And Bill Maher sort of makes a joke. But is it better? And then actually at that point, Jordan Peterson laughs and the camera switches to Jordan Peterson laughing. And then Bill Maher sort of says, he turns it again, says, no, I'm serious. And Jordan Peterson then sort of turns it around again, says, well, you clap. But I think generally, basically Peterson says, for me, this is true. And Maher says, okay. I feel like you're speaking as if you're a representative for the entire human race. And I'm saying that there's a very large spectrum. There are people. I was just reading about the convention, and then they go into that a little bit. And then they talk about LGBTQ, and everybody's sort of adding a letter, and as if they have nothing in common. But again, Peterson again pivots with a lot more nuance and clarity and says, but they do have one thing in common. There's one that's they're trying to define themselves in terms of sexual behavior. And that's one thing that's included. And it's a big mistake because you can't reduce yourself to your sexual behavior. And then Jordan Peterson goes back and then Bill Maher's like, yeah, but the guy, you know, the guy is doing this with his 17-year-old son. And what Jordan doesn't quite say, but what, let's say if I was the pastor of their church, their pastor, I would completely understand this because assumedly the father has his situation under control and he isn't looking at porn. So he's not afraid to share with his 17-year-old son his browsing habits, and there's reciprocity there. And that's what Jordan Peterson brings up, because that's a very difficult issue. And it's a thing to struggle with. And so basically a 17-year-old is going to need to grow in this. And if his father is a good accountability partner, his father hopefully will be able to sort of modulate to give him sort of, if you're somebody's accountability partner, you're going to have to sort of get the dance right. You're going to have to, your confrontation is going to have enough bite in it to help the person feel the weight, but it's also going to have enough understanding in it to not demoralize the person with the bite. And that's why when people pick accountability partners and try to set up an arrangement like this in a pastoral circumstance, you really need the right kind of person, and you need the right relationship between the person. And the fact that the Speaker of the House and his son imaginably sort of have the right relationship, Bill Maher makes it sound like this is crazy. This isn't crazy at all. It's a father teaching a son how to use technology responsibly in the age of the internet. And that's not a crazy thing at all. And again, I'd mentioned Covenant Eyes is a web program that many Christians use. And then at some point, Bill Maher gets tired of this, and then he wants to sort of turn the conversation, which again is his right, and then it goes to the other kinds of things. And some of these other conversations were sort of picked up by YouTube, and then they talked about Palestine. And most of what Jordan Peterson said about Palestine, you can hear Jordan talking about it in far greater length with Piers Morgan. And Jordan has made his ideas available on that subject, and that's not really the topic of this video. Because this first section here, where Jordan really, with a tremendous amount of skill and nuance, challenges the narrative of the sexual revolution, this is a Jordan that I don't know that we've seen on a platform like this. Now, Jordan has his own platform, and he's been able to make these kinds of arguments on his own channel. But part of what's good about Jordan now being stronger and being able to go onto other platforms, now again, this was a friendly platform because he's built a relationship with Bill Maher, and Bill Maher clearly likes him, even though Bill Maher doesn't really have a very deep understanding of everything that Jordan Peterson is saying and doing. But I think this is a really good argument why Jordan needs to continue to get on bigger platforms and not just friendly platform, because it seems that he is getting healthy enough and well enough to be able to handle these kinds of contexts. And again, I want to emphasize, I know a lot of people imagine that, well, it's just, and this is a lot of YouTube, well, it's, I want to see the traditionalist or the conservative or the Christian just boldly make the bright line and the dogmatic point. And I'm not saying that there aren't times and spaces for that. There certainly are. But seldom do those points really carry an influence and audience the way I think we saw Jordan do in 2018, and I think he can do again. So actually, I thought this was a tremendous moment in terms of the Jordan Peterson narrative, where he has, in some ways, gotten back to where he was, let's say, in January of 2018, when he had that conversation with Kathy Newman, and he was able to sort of turn the table and help even an audience that is predisposed to disagree with him. They might not at the end of the conversation agree with him or necessarily especially change their behavior, but the way he presented it gave the audience pause and said, is this narrative that, so say we all, yuck, 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 ho, 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 is this narrative actually right? And this was the power that we really saw Jordan wield in 2017 and 2018, that after his illness has taken him a long time to recover. This is the power that I think we really need to see Jordan wield in public, on public platforms again. So that's why I wanted to make this video. And yeah, if you get a chance to just watch this little section again, I don't think it's going to be on YouTube. Watch it, because this is the Jordan Peterson masterclass. So leave a comment. Let me know what you think.